Before I get into my message this morning, Linda is just going to come and share something that the Lord kind of put on her heart last week, and I think it will kind of draw in last week and tie in this week together. And so,
it's kind of interesting that God has spoken so much of, you know, I've seen what he's got me to share, wanting me to share throughout everything that's been so far, ending with Susan saying the Lord wants us to draw closer to his heart. And then Pastor Sean preached last Sunday about hearing the voice of God. And then this morning, one of the songs we had was, I Want to See You. And what I want to share with you this morning is about seeing and hearing God for the purpose of drawing closer to his heart, for us to be really connected to him and have good relationship, like real, not just a theoretical relationship, but a real personal relationship every day in our everyday life with him. I think about how the children of Israel, when Moses went and was with God personally himself, the response of the children of Israel was, no, 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 that's not for us, that's too intense, you know. You go have that personal relationship with him and we'll have kind of a vicarious relationship through you, we'll listen to you. But you know what? God wants us. That's why he came as a baby, that he wants a personal relationship with each one of us. And I was going to share with you an example of seeing and hearing God. That happened to me a couple weeks ago. I think about, you know, and when Sean was preaching last Sunday, he did a really good job of explaining hearing God, because lots of times, I don't know, probably you have, like I have, heard people that thought we were a bunch of weirdos because we see God and we hear God, you know, and Jesus said to me kind of thing, you know, and they think we're kind of strange. But in reality, like if any unbeliever, if I said to them, how many doors are in your house? Probably people don't know how many doors there are in their house. But if I said to you, okay, in your mind, walk through your house and count the doors and tell me how many doors there are in your house, they could all do that because they're seeing in their mind's eye. They're using that capability that God gave everybody. And we're not doing really anything different. Same thing with hearing a voice. Like, lots of times stuff happens and I think, oh, I can just hear my dad. I know exactly what he'd say here. You know, because I know him. I can hear his voice in my head saying what I know my dad would have said in this situation. Well, we've got spiritual eyes as well. Not only do we have our mind's eye and our mind's ears, we've also got our spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. So we've got one jump up from that, and God wants us to see and hear him. Well, a few weeks ago, I was awake at like somewhere between 3 and 4 in the morning, and my brain is running off on, oh, I got 20 people coming, and for criticism, oh, I gotta think of that. And I'm like, what am I doing? I should be sleeping. I need my sleep. So I prayed, you know, Lord, help me go to sleep. Well, I couldn't go to sleep because it kept coming back and coming back. So then I prayed in the spirit for a while and settled down a bit. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, cast your cares on him, for he cares for you, you know. So I'm like, okay, everything that pops into my head, I'm just going to cast them on Jesus. So I start doing that, and suddenly I see in my mind's eye Jesus standing there with his arms outstretched like he's going to catch my stuff, you know? I don't know about you, but when I see Jesus, often it's I don't know how to describe it. It's like he's playful. It's like he's lighthearted. It's like he wants me to lighten up because I'm a little intense, you know. So I'm like, okay, lighten up, you know. So this is the atmosphere. So he's standing there, and then he goes like, just a minute, and he turns around, and I'm, what is he doing? And I'm thinking, oh, he's getting something to catch my stuff. So I'm expecting maybe a moving crate or a garbage bag or something. Well, he turns around and he's got a treasure chest, like a big treasure chest. And he puts it down and I'm trying to process this. And when he speaks to me, it's not like I hear a voice. I just know what he's saying to me. And he's saying to me, like, really? You expected me to treat your stuff like garbage? Put it in the garbage bag? Or maybe like a moving crate so that everything is exactly the same when you go to pull it out as it was when you put it in? What good would that be? So I'm like, oh, yeah. I mean, and he's like, it's a treasure chest because I treasure the fact that you trust me and you're willing to give me these things that are a concern to you. And that scripture popped into my head. I think it's Psalm 138:8, and it says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth you. So he's not done. He slams the treasure chest shut on all my stuff, and he sits on it, and then he says, there, I'm on it. So, for the last couple of weeks, every time something came to me that was a concern, it was like I could see him all over again. There, I'm on it. And that's what he wants our hearts to be lightened with, you know? If you've got some concerns, let him put them in that treasure chest. And every time you think of that concern, instead of being weighted down with it, chuckle. There, I'm on it. Trust him. And above all, let your relationship be really personal. I think that happened in the middle of the night because I run all the time and I'm so full of everything that it's like during the day I don't take those times to be with him and to just take the time to let him really let my heart see him and let my spiritual ears hear him. So don't let the Christmas rush do that to you, and don't let life do that to you. Let's see him, let's hear him.
Thank you. We know that this time of year can be busy. There's lots of things going on. You got recitals, Christmas parties, school-related Christmas parties, Christmas concerts, you have extra work meetings, you have extra housework, you have extra everything trying to get things ready before Christmas break comes. Trying to run around, trying to gather things. And I know the list can go on. I mean, there's other things you can think of in your own life this week or this month that just seem to be more busy, or there's something that's added to you, and you can run around in circles. At the same time, in that, there's a tremendous increase of being around people. More conversations, more interactions, because you're at and attending all of these various things that don't normally occur, but happen during the month of December. And so it can be a very full and fulfilling time. But if you're an introvert, it can be a fulfilling time, but a very challenging time as well. So I just want to give you a little glimpse of my week this week. Just a little glimpse. I am an introvert. I love people. I love to be around people, but there's times when I don't. And last Sunday was the dessert evening. It was a great time. There was a lot of people in the foyer, lots of conversations, and it was good. It was a good day last Sunday. There was lots of running around, getting things organized. And I thought, okay, Monday, it'll be good. And then Monday, I signed up for the kettles, and so I was doing Salvation Army kettles for 2 hours at Walmart, saying good morning, hello, thank you, have a good day to every person who entered or exited Walmart. And I thought, okay, I'm reaching my people limit. And then I decided, I think I really needed to deliver the poinsettias this year, and so delivering poinsettias and spending time in some of your houses, and I loved it, and had coffee and dessert, and spent time doing that. Then I was helping somebody move some things around downtown, and then I delivered more poinsettias in the evening with Zachary, and I enjoyed those times, and it was good. It was a full, very full Monday. But then Tuesday wasn't any different. Tuesday then added morning meetings, afternoon ministerial meeting, evening board meeting, interdispersed with poinsettia deliveries and conversations, and again, it was a full day. And I thought, okay, I have two more days, maybe three, to get a message prepared. And then Wednesday comes, and I'm like, okay, let's start today. And then it was another full day, and I had some good conversations, and I'm going to bring out a little bit of what was shared, but some good conversations, and I was challenged. But then my daughter phoned me from school saying, I don't feel well, Dad. Like 6 times she called from RSS. I tried to ignore the phone call, and she phoned and phoned, so I went to pick her up. And about 1:45 in the afternoon on Wednesday, I had a very strange migraine headache come on me. I don't get them. It was the kind where I saw rainbow-colored stuff all around my eyes. I closed my eye, it would not go away. I came back to the office and thought, I'm going to try and work on a sermon. Well, you can't work on a sermon when you can only see out of one eye. And so I'm in my office in the dark. I'm sure people, if they came, were wondering what's going on. I'm in the office in the dark, working on a sermon and thinking through things, and the headache's not going away, and I'm praying, and I'm trying not to think about the last couple days being just lots of people, and there's lots of other things going on, and I'm laying there, and I eventually turn off the computer, turn off all sorts of light, and I lay on my couch in my office with my eyes closed, and I just begin to think and pray. The headache's not going. Didn't go away till 5 o'clock that evening. And so I tell that, because that's only a portion. There's other things. I'm a family. You know, I have a family. There's lots of other things going on. The girls had a dance recital. So there was lots of extra practices and things going on. There was just lots going on. And I don't tell you that for you to look at me and go, wow, that's busy, Pastor. I don't tell you that because I want to rebuke. I don't tell you that because I want sympathy. I tell you that because I'm a human being. I tell you that because in December, it gets busy for pastors. And a lot of the other pastors in other churches have more of a liturgical setting. There's so much going on in their churches that it's not even a fraction to what goes on in our church. But December is busy. It's a busy month. And I tell you that because Wednesday I was actually a little overwhelmed with a headache that wouldn't go away. When I sought the Lord, He didn't give me an answer other than close your eyes and lay on the couch. I tell you that because I was a little overwhelmed, actually, from my October and my November with my dad's health and his death. And Wednesday, it was rough for me. But then Thursday came. Before I get into the message this morning, it's a brief message. But Thursday came. And then I was reminded of something. And last week I talked about how when God speaks to us, he does also speak to us through people. And it's easy to be distracted and not listen. So like what Linda shared today. If Linda had shared that with me on Wednesday, I don't know if I could have heard it because my headache was so extreme that I kept telling the children, shh, no noise, shh. And then they would talk. And then my own voice, and the sound of my own voice would aggravate my own head. So I'm like, shh. Maybe some of you can relate to that. Only this last year have I ever had migraines. I've never had them before at any point in my life. But on Thursday morning, I was reminded that Jesus is all sufficient. That he is all sufficient. Whether I choose him to be in one place or not, he is all sufficient in my life. At all times, not just when you and I pick and choose, he is all sufficient. He knows what we're going through. He can see all of the stuff that we're concerned with. And it's an amazing thing that Linda shared that because we're not a bother to him when we bring him our concerns. And he says to us, I've got it in my notes, I've got this. In the same way that he said to Linda, I'm on it. He says to you, he says to me, I've got this. Whatever this is for you, he says, I've got this. And I needed a reminder of that this week because I am a human being. And maybe you need a reminder that he's with you, that he's also got this, that you are able to come and bring your burdens and your cares to him because he does care for you and he cares for me. And if you can picture what Linda shared this morning, I mean, it's an amazing thing to picture the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, saying, your requests and your burdens aren't a burden to me, they're treasures, I value you. Just picture that every time you think about that. Think that he's put him in a treasure chest and he says, I've got it. We need each other to remind us of things. Because sometimes we don't hear clearly. At the same time, I was also reminded this week that I have a choice. I have a choice to be overwhelmed by my circumstances, just like each of you, just like Pastor Andrew shared a couple Sundays ago, that we all have a choice to be overwhelmed with what's going on around us, or we can choose to be overwhelmed by the calling that God has on our life that is far beyond anything that we can do on our own. And that's a better overwhelm. Now, for me, in the midst of Monday and Tuesday, I didn't feel overwhelmed. It was great. I enjoy taking poinsettias and delivering things and having conversations and coffee. Sometimes I enjoy fellowship and visitation far more than I do preparing a sermon. And so I wasn't overwhelmed on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday. It was just when I thought, I need to get a sermon done and I can't even see, that now I'm a little overwhelmed. And my brain just went, bop. The thing is, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. We're strong only in him. We actually can't do anything in our own strength because I could have tried to force out a sermon on Wednesday with like an eye patch on, but it wouldn't have done any good. It would have been in my own strength because the Lord is the one who redeems time, my time, your time. And as we wind down 2019, I think we also need to be reminded that things are not as bad as they seem. Did you hear that? Things are not as bad as they seem. Father, I thank you. I thank you that we are not alone. I thank you that you are with us, but I thank you that you have surrounded us in a body, that you've called each of us to encourage one another, to speak words of correction and admonition, Lord, that you have called us to be in family with each other. I thank you, Lord, that you are here this morning, and I pray that we would be able to hear what it is you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're not finished yet. Hebrews 12, 1-3 in the Amplified Version. Have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us, let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set out before us, looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. The first incentive for our belief and the one who brings our faith to maturity. For the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him, he endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, revealing his deity, his authority, and the completion of his work. And then it goes on to say, just consider and meditate on him who endured from sinners such bitter hostility against himself. Consider it all in comparison with your trials, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Sometimes, because of our situations or circumstances that are going on, sometimes because of busyness, sometimes even because of blindness, it can be easy to overestimate our trials and struggles. And I say that because I know sometimes I can overestimate my trials and struggles. I can make them bigger than they actually are. I don't know about you, if you've ever done that, but I have done that. I've needed people around me to remind me of the fact that things are not as bad as they seem. I need the Lord, I need other people to come along and say, lighten up. Because the Lord says that to me often, lighten up. He also says that to me through my wife often, lighten up. And my children, lighten up. Each of us are unique. We're different. We have different circumstances. We're carrying different weights. We have different responsibilities and things that we are walking through. And I'm not talking about comparing whatever you're going through to somebody else going, well, maybe they have it worse, so mine's just, I'm nothing. In your circumstance, compared to you and Jesus being with you, again, you're not a burden to him. Sometimes we just need a reset. We just need a reminder where we are, that things are going to be okay. We need a reminder that it's actually all about Jesus. That he's our example, that he's the one who started and finished the race that he's called us to, and he hasn't left us alone to do it. Sometimes we just need a reminder. Not just on a Sunday morning from me, not just from spending time in worship corporately, but from one another. We often need a reminder just to consider, as it says here in the Amplified, to consider and meditate on him who endured from sinners such bitter hostility. Consider it in all comparison with your own trials. One author says it this way: we have an amazing example in Jesus, who endured the unimaginable to obtain the prize of redemption. He looked forward with joy to the cross because he knew it meant restoration for mankind. He disregarded the shame of dying a criminal's death because the outcome far surpassed it. We are to consider this in comparison to all of our trials, so that we don't grow weary or become exhausted or lose heart. Even I need reminders of this. The author goes on to say, when we focus on the example set by Jesus and fix our eyes steadfastly on him, we will have great encouragement to continue moving forward towards the mission that he's called us to in life, the race that is before us, until we run through the finish line. We must consider Jesus. So that's the thing. Until we run through the finish line, we always have to go back to the one, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who began the race and finished it and calls us onward. We all have to go back. We all have to be reminded of. It wouldn't be in Scripture with constant reminders if they didn't need reminding. We are no different. We need reminding. We need to be reminded from the Lord. We need to be reminded from each other. I need to remind you. You need to remind me. We need to be reminded that it's all about Jesus, the one who started it and finished it and will bring to completion that which he has started. This author says again, we must consider Jesus, who endured such opposition and bitter hostility and yet finished what he was called to do, so that we too will continue moving forward. Again, that idea that he started the race. He finished the race. He calls us heavenward. He calls us to forget what's behind. And again, sometimes in our busyness and our tiredness, or maybe there's lack of rest or different things going on, especially in December, that again, we might just need a reminder before we finish out the year. Hebrews 12:1. In the New Living Translation, it says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Some translations say hinders. Some say entangles. I know I've shared on the description of a vine entangling you. When I read it now, it's I picture in my mind like I'm running along and somebody sticks a broomstick in between my legs and I trip and fall. That's just the picture I get. Some translations say hindered, but the word is related to any kind of weight that hinders running a race. Again, athletes who are running a race, often they shed excess body weight. They don't carry baggage with them because they're wanting to win. So the idea is to get rid of excess weight, not just physical weight. The thing is, if you think of it for a moment in the idea of being an athlete, I am not an athlete. To think of being an athlete tires me a little bit. A lot, actually. It tires me a lot to think of being an athlete. But to actually shed excess weight is difficult. It requires some effort and energy. I know I've done it before. Lost hundreds of pounds and gained hundreds of pounds back, and lost hundreds of pounds and gained it back. It requires effort. I didn't just sit on the couch and go, okay, Lord, I want to lose weight. I had to eat healthy and exercise and work. And so shedding excess weight, the things that hinder us, means we can't just sit around, and sometimes we just get distracted. So there's this challenge here, to be reminded what's slowing you down. What is getting in the way of you running the race properly. And the sin that so easily trips us up, in context, it's unbelief. The context of where this scripture is unbelief. And so this idea of unbelief is the opposite of faith. In the entire previous chapter, Hebrews 11, is the faith chapter. But it's this idea of all those who believe God for the promise, even though they didn't see it fulfilled. And there's this call in Hebrews 11 that says that, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. And so there's this idea, again, of anything that hinders us, anything, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, anything that hinders us from running the race, we're called to shed it, to let go of it, to deal with it. I mean, that can be deep, that can be surface level. It's a wide range of things that can kind of be in that place of hinders. But the sin that so easily trips us up is unbelief. And we'll get to it when I ask the questions. But this idea that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Another commentary, it talks about the other sins that are mentioned throughout Hebrews. Things like drifting from the Lord or drifting from fellowship. Spiritual dullness. Prolonged immaturity. Deliberate sinning. Those things that are mentioned all throughout Hebrews, those are also part of that, you know, the sin that so easily entangles us, unbelief, and some of these other things. When someone's running a race, I don't know if you've ever seen someone running a race, and sometimes they fall, and they're either disqualified, or they fall, and they drop out of the race themselves, but we're actually called to run a race with perseverance and endurance so that we don't drop out. That's our calling. All of us are on that. And I think what happens often is we start out at a sprint because we think the Christian life is meant to be a sprint, but it's not meant to be a sprint. It's a marathon that requires endurance. Requires it actually, as Eugene Peterson put it, it's a long obedience in the same direction. Step by step, faith by faith, journey by journey, as we grow, as we step, as sometimes we fall, and the Lord comes alongside us and picks us up and continues to walk forward with us because He's called us to run this race and He's equipped us to do it. And sometimes we just lose sight. When there are difficulties, when there are things that just kind of cause us to be busy. Because even in busyness, you can still have rest. But then there are certain things that just take rest from you. And I don't just mean a day off, I mean Sabbath rest. Time with the Lord. And when those things are kind of disjointed, we can become distracted. We're called to run the race with determination, with perseverance, with endurance. Those sound like working words, words where we can't just sit. And it has nothing to do with our salvation. This isn't about keeping our salvation or earning our salvation. It has nothing to do with that. It's talking about running the race. In Hebrews 12, in the Amplified, it says, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus. The New Living Translation puts it this way with verse 1 included. It says, let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us, and we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, our champion. The Message puts it this way, keep your eyes on Jesus who began and finished the race we're in. And this is a challenge for myself, for other pastors, for all of us. If Christmas is meant to be the time when we reflect on Jesus, and it's all about Jesus, I mean, it should always be all about Jesus, but in the culture we live, Christmas can just ramp up busyness in churches and in our own lives with doing different things. We can't run the race if we're not looking at Him. That makes sense. So I have some questions. That's what all these blank pieces of paper are for. Questions are in your outline. I'm going to read them. The blank pieces of paper weren't for children just to draw on this morning. But I have three questions. And the purpose of those questions this morning is to be reflective, to actually write down on your piece of paper that's there, and I'll give opportunity, but to actually bring them over to the cross. Put them on the paper. Nobody's going to read them. You don't need to sign your name to them. But when I ask the questions and the Lord might show you, it's for you to write down something. But we'll get there. What are some of the things that have distracted you from looking to Jesus this week? Or this month? What are some of the things that have distracted you from looking to Jesus this week? You can write, if you don't have an outline, you can write the question down. But it is in the outline. I wrote the questions there. I'll just give some examples that can maybe help. We've talked about physical distractions before. So I'm not specifically talking about those kind of distractions. If the Lord brings those up, that's okay. But what about mindsets and attitudes? What about if you've spent this last week or even the year being so afraid of everything that you were paralyzed? That's something that has kind of blocked your race. Or what if you've had a mindset that instead of seeking the Lord to deal with things in your own heart, it's everybody else's fault? Again, I don't know. Maybe that's something that the Lord shows you. What has stopped you from running the race? Or what has distracted you from looking to Jesus is more so the question. Because we're all on this race. Some of us are running too fast, and we need to just take a step back or we'll stumble. The question can be formed another way. What excess baggage has hindered you from running the race? Is it time management? Is it spending time doing good things, but maybe not spending time with Jesus? I mean, I don't know what is in your own heart or your own thoughts. Doesn't have to be something that's long and drawn out either. You could just think of something yesterday. What happened yesterday that maybe you allowed to get in the way of looking to Jesus? Or maybe it happened this morning on your way to church. Maybe it's not learning about boundaries or learning how to say no or saying yes to everything all the time and being burnt out because you've been unable to say no. That would be something that gets in the way of looking to Jesus. So it's not just physical things like your phone or TV or anything. You can put anything in that list. And then what sin has entangled you? Is it unbelief? Do you believe that God will intervene in somebody else's life but not your own? Or are you at a place where you feel like giving up because the Lord hasn't broken through yet? Or maybe there's some unbelief when it comes to even the Lord fulfilling any promises that he's ever spoken or are in his word, and you're just tired. Don't let that entangle you. Don't let that trip you up. Don't, if you can picture it like the broomstick being shoved between your legs while you're running, don't let that happen. Maybe you've started to wander, or you've let fellowship disappear from your life. fellowship, meaning that you gather with fellow believers outside of a Sunday morning. Because that can also get in the way of looking to Jesus. Because I couldn't isolate myself, but if I isolated myself, I wouldn't have heard from any of the people who spoke into my life this week. Don't worry, I'm not isolating myself. That's not the kind of person I am. But if I was distant from fellowship, I wouldn't have heard from the four or five people that tried to tell me the same thing between Monday and Wednesday that I couldn't hear because I had a headache. So maybe fellowship. Maybe, again, there are things that as you hear me talk that you're reminded. I'm just going to have Carson come. So those three questions again. What has distracted you from looking to Jesus this week, this month, this year? What has distracted you from looking to Jesus? What excess baggage or weight has hindered you from running the race properly? What sin has entangled you? Ask him to show you. We'll take a moment, and then I'm going to have Carson close in a song. And when he does that, if you are finished, just stand in your seats like you would when you come in to worship. And then take your time and just put it on the table. Again, don't write your name on it. Don't write any identification marks, but it's not going to be read. Gives opportunity to acknowledge before the Lord, to come in humility and repentance that says, I've allowed this to distract me. I'm leaving it at the altar. And maybe there's some things going on even in your heart that have to do with mindsets or things that need healing. That requires seeking out godly counsel. Requires seeking out others to come alongside you. It might even require professional counseling. Please talk to me if those are some of the things you're working through so I can connect you to somebody who might be even more qualified. Again, remember, things are not as bad as they seem. Because Jesus has already finished the race. He's calling you forward. Don't lose sight of him. that you're the one who started this race, that you have finished this race, that you've called us on, Lord, that you are the one who is with us, and that you've said to us that you've got this, you're on it, that you're able to take our cares and concerns, Lord, because you care for us, you value us, Lord, and I thank you that you call us to look away from everything that distracts and look towards Jesus. Father, as we wind down this year, Lord, that you would help us remember that things are not as bad as they seem, that you are with us, that you have us in your hands. Lord, help us to remember, Lord, help us to remember that the call that you have goes beyond our own abilities. The call that you have for each of us goes beyond our own strength, because you are our strength. Father, as we go today, that we would be reminded of the things we've left at the altar, that we would leave them there, and anything that requires a deep work, Lord, that you would begin to spur us on, that we wouldn't just leave it there and go, okay, Lord, it's done. Father, if there's things that need to be worked through with conversations and counseling and times of healing, Lord, and new mindsets brought in, Lord, that you would remind us. Father, again, I thank you for this day. Continue to keep our ears open to you and our eyes open to you, that our hearts would be soft, and that you would be able to mold us and shape us, Lord.